Welcome to episode 11 of Mindful Decontamination for First Responders. This is Craig and Kathy, and we are here back again in the studio with Ulf Sandstrom. And we're going to take up right where we left off with the trauma tapping technique. This episode is going to be tapping in action. And we're going to talk about what a person can do and what a family can do together to deal with daily stress and get through the day.
Yeah, so talk to us about the tapping.
So, all of these techniques, some call them energy psychology, because you're using your senses to affect your emotional state. So emotions are electrochemical responses in your body. If you don't have a body, you don't feel stuff. It's that easy, and I think most people realize that. So anything that reaches your senses will trigger a cascade of reactions in your body. So the other way around, anything that in your mind that can trigger a cascade of reactions in your body, because your mind can reproduce your senses. That's what a flashback is. You can feel the burning whatever. You can hear the sirens. You can sense the shock. You can have the ringing in your ears, whatever that is. So your senses give you information that instruct your body to be safe or to protect itself. Now, the neurobiology of this is simple. Certain parts of your system contribute to calming your brain and nervous system down more than others, right? So some people describe this as Morse code. You're sending a signal of everything is cool into your system. Now, I told you before that, you know, if you rock a little bit from side to side, that's fine motor skills, and that's in every tradition of praying, shuckling in Jewish praying, and in Muslims, they do it back and forth. And Tibetan monks, they do it another way, because if you do this sitting down on a hard seat, you're using your pelvic floor, you're using your diaphragm, your back muscles are loosening up, just rocking from side to side, you're actually making sure that you're not completely stressed. So freaking simple. You can do it in the car on the way to the scene, right? If you're not driving. Okay, so here it is. When you go into anxiety or fear, you lose your fine motor skills. It works the other way around. Engage your fine motor skills and you cannot panic. That easy. Now, the tapping sends signals in through acupressure points or acupuncture points on your body, which means that you're actually sending signals in at a louder volume than are other parts of your body. Also, there's a load of theories and loads of science, 155 studies and a book by Dr. Peter Stapleton, if somebody wants to like go show me the science stuff. But beyond that, there is a couple of 100,000 people, maybe 400,000 or 500,000 or 1 million by now, that use this daily on the planet because it works. So what you do is you put your hand straight and you take two fingers, and I'll just instruct it, and you can listen to this and do it. So there's an app you can download for free in 27 languages with a movie. You just follow. It's a cartoon. Some fire department here, they just give the link to people or give them a postcard with the QR code so they can do this. The survivors they just helped can go home. They put the fire out around them, and then they can help themselves to put the fire out inside them. So you're tapping on the carotid point where the small little finger meets the side of the palm of the hand, right? And you're tapping at a tempo of toot, 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 that speed, right? And it's not a specific number of times. That's not what it's all about. And then you put your thumbs on the sides of your forehead and you pull across your forehead. That's called a crown pull. The frontal cortex is the part of the body that if it loses blood and goes blank, your executive function is gone. And you cannot really make smart decisions, and your impulse control is down. So that part actually goes black if you do a brain scan during a flashback or traumatic reaction. So you're actually massaging some blood back into your forehead. Two fingers on each hand, and you're tapping where the eyebrows meet the nose. So where the eyebrows meet the nose, you're tapping. And then you're tapping on the side, on the bone, on the sides of your eyes, the bone that protects your eyes from the sides. 12 to 15 times. I usually hum Smoke on the Water in my head after do 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 do. I move. And then you got the bone under your eyes. And then you got your upper lip. We've done this with QEG scans on, and you can tell the difference. The brain really does a huge shift during this. You do it on your chin. So what happens is you're slowing down the production of adrenaline, cortisol, and noradrenaline, or norepinephrine, which means you're slowing your heartbeat. And then over your chest like a gorilla under the collarbone. So loads of studies with fMRI scans and everything. Cortisol levels go down. One hand on the opposite shoulder so that you can tap on the side of your chest under the armpit. And now it's your hand. So you put your hand out straight with your thumb up in the air, and you go to your little finger and you tap on the side of the nail. Side of the nail. Ring finger. Long finger. Some call it birdie. And then your index finger. And on the side of the nail, your thumb. So this is a sequence, these points. It's actually 13 points, but we're tapping one twice. So we're going back to the chest now. So this is one round. We're going to do a second one. But before we do that, you just close your eyes. Take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold it and count to four. One, two, three, four. And then you breathe out on the letter F as in Philadelphia. That's not an F, but it's okay. So you're prolonging the out-breath by putting your front teeth into your lower lip. So you breathe in again. And this is simple. I'll explain it after. Hold your breath a few seconds. You're pushing more oxygen into your heart now. It's called the Starling effect. And then you breathe out on the long F of Philadelphia. So breathing in speeds up your heartbeat, activates sympathetic. Breathing out activates parasympathetic, downregulates sympathetic, which means longer breath out and holding breath, more oxygen, slower heartbeat. Now you're doing the other hand. So it's a second round. We call it washing and rinsing. So karate point on the other hand, probably you're using your non-dominant hand to tap now. And I don't know if you remember, and it doesn't matter because you put your thumbs on the sides of your forehead and then you pull, do the crown pull. So next thing was both hands with two fingers on each hand tapping where your eyebrows meet the nose. Hopefully they don't, well, you know, for some people they actually do meet. That's interesting. And then you go to the side of your eyes, you know, the bone next to your eyes. And you go, what if I forget one of these points? It doesn't matter. And then you go under the eyes. So there was a Harper study, Taming the Amygdala, 2012 et al., where they proved that you could do loads of stuff to get this effect. Tapping was one, havening was one, tense pads was one, eye movement, you know, desensitization, EMDR was one. This is just simple and fast, easy to remember. And it takes exactly 5 minutes to do the two rounds. Now on your chin, you just did your upper lip. And then it's both hands and over the chest like a gorilla. The gorillas actually do this in the Virunga Mountains in Rwanda, where we've been working after the genocide a lot. Yes, it works even after 20 years.
Decompressing.
And then, you know, it was a hand on the shoulder, on the opposite shoulder so that you can reach, you know, just 10 centimeters under their armpit, or some people will have a bra band. See, we're gender neutral here. Some people, we say.
Craig does. It's just, that'd be me. I've got the bra band.
There you go. Thanks. Thanks for taking that one for the team. And then you go on the side of the small finger. Again, we're on the hand now, and you go to the ring finger. And also, you go on the long finger or the birdie. And, you know, when you're doing this, you're actually associating with your body. So flashback and trauma is a dissociated state. You're actually touching parts of your body that send signals to your brain going, gee whiz, I have a hand. Ain't that good? Apart from all the other neurobiological stuff that's going on, right? So there's many layers to this, explaining how and why it works. And then it's back to the collarbone. And then, and here's the deal. close the eyes if it's okay, or just go into peripheral vision. It doesn't matter. Whatever you're comfy with, if you have loads of flashback, closing your eyes could be a bad idea. So you could just try that dreamy gaze and the crazy smile you have when you're happy. And then you breathe in through your nose. Hold a few seconds for the Starling effect, more oxygen in your heart. And then you can just breathe out on the long F. And one more last breath. Breathe in fast. Hold your breath. Slightly crazy smile. That's the same thing. You smile when you're happy. If you smile, your body will think you're happy. Long F. If you're comfortable closing your eyes, do that. And now is just notice what is different. Do you feel slightly heavier? Do you feel refreshed? Do you feel tired? Is there a headache? What's going on? Any reaction here is fine. There is no recipe. We're not clocks. We're chaos systems. We're clouds. So, you know, if you had a sleep deficiency, you might become tired. If your fear was keeping you tense, you might feel refreshed and light. If you were, you had so much noradrenaline or norepinephrine that you weren't noticing that you actually had a pain, then all of a sudden, you know, your back's going to go, well, hi there. You forgot me, you know, and it's going to start giving you a little bit of pain, and that's fine. It's all good. So what do you guys notice?
I feel tingly. I feel calm and I feel tingly.
Same. Yeah. Kind of comfortably numb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And refreshed. Yeah. Like I feel like I just woke up and I'm ready to go. Like,
yeah. You
know. Well, one thing though I notice is with responders that are like, they're so actively dysregulated that they get exhausted afterwards. And so I don't know, I don't know if with this, but I know with havening, they get exhausted. So who the hell wants to do havening if they're going to get exhausted? And the whole point is, well, if you practice it regularly, you'll become more regulated and you won't get exhausted. It would be
if you keep running from tigers, if you survive, you're eventually going to get strong legs. But if you train before you meet the tiger, you're going to have muscles when you meet the tiger and you can run away with a smile.
I like it.
It's kind of the same thing.
So is this like an end of shift thing, Ulf? Is this like, or is this like after a call, or is this just throughout the day when I just feel like I do it? Like when?
So we call this emotional first aid. So we use this when anybody is in. So here's the deal: it's exposure therapy, but it's not coping. So prolonged exposure and CBT is coping by getting used to it, but you're not cleaning the river. You're getting used to the river being dirty. Here, you're actually finding, you know, the dirt in the river, and then you're walking upstream through the tapping and cleaning the source, which means you're actually depotentiating, which means anytime you feel uncomfortable, you can do this to resolve whatever triggered that without even having to find out what that was, because you could be triggered subliminally. You can be triggered with your nociception. You know, your senses just go, oh, the neighbor's having a barbecue, and, you know, everybody's feeling fine about it except you, because part of you remembers a nasty, you know, fire accident where a similar smell was. So it could be conscious, could be subconscious. As soon as you feel something that doesn't feel really okay and there's no real explanation, you can do that. And that will actually treat the symptom and also clean up upstreams. Now, if you want to do this before you go to sleep, that's a brilliant idea, because when you go to sleep, you have to relax your critical faculty, which is the same as going into a trance. You have to go, is everything safe so I can sleep? And the 2 seconds before you fall asleep, your brain is going to go, yeah, everything's safe, but all this happened today, and aren't you going to take care of that? So negative emotions and flashbacks usually pop up when you're going to sleep. That's why a lot of people watch Netflix until they fall asleep or have, you know, a couple of drinks, whether it's correct or not politically, they do that because it takes their mind past those flashbacks. So doing this before you fall asleep actually gets rid of that urge. You can actually do this and fall asleep and sleep like a baby. Wake up at night with a nightmare or anxiety that you have no idea where it came from, which could be your brain going, well, you didn't take care of it during the day, so I'm going to do it when you dream. And you forgot your dream, but you're having anxiety, then you can do the tapping and go back to sleep.
I love humming Smoke on the Water. I like that idea because even the lyrics, smoke on the water, fire in the sky.
Exactly.
Like, whatever's going on, whatever's happening, just really smoke on the water. It's going to fade, right?
Yeah,
so just hum Smoke on the Water. Or I was thinking, ever since you said it, I was thinking it the whole time. Like, Yeah, that's good. That is great.
Inner hypnotist. Who wants to hear somebody counting?
That's very impactful. No. What about so what is the name of the application that we can put in our notes and have people download so they can see?
Self-help for trauma. Self-help for trauma, Android and iOS, 27 languages, 31 soon, because we're upgrading it with 4 new ones. It has explanations for symptoms for stress so that you know what to look out for. So a lot of people know that tense back and headaches could be stress, but what they don't know is that being accident prone is actually a result of being stressed and traumatized. You start mm-hmm. making mistakes that actually, you know, you get hurt without understanding why. It's never this happened one? Before. That's the one. Yeah.
Self-help for trauma. All right.
Nice. So also actually hernia in your back, that can be a traumatic stress response. A lot of people don't know that.
Hernia, you said?
Yep.
Huh. Interesting. Very interesting. Well, so, and then I guess I'm curious, like we want to give as many tools as possible to put into a toolbox so that people can pick them out and understand more. What's your body doing during stress? What's your body doing during trauma? You know, and I can't say this enough. And, you know, living in a perpetual state of, you know, stress and trauma is going to make you dysregulated. So it needs to be like putting on a clean pair of underwear and brushing your teeth, like practice it.
I think that's actually probably the biggest challenge that you're going to have if you're working as a first responder of any blue light or white light or red light, whatever that is, because you're going to, being in a life and death situation is also very rewarding. So there's this reward of actually, it's extremely meaningful what you're doing. You're saving people's lives, you know, for frick's sake. That's fantastic. Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't get to do that. They click on keyboards and they write numbers or sell things, but you're making a difference. So the deal is, it's almost like alcohol or any other drug. You know, if you have it in church, you know, just a little sip and think it's the blood of Jesus, or if you're having a drink for dinner or toasting at a wedding, it's fine. But if you're using it to douse your waking mind into sleep, then it's probably detrimental. So it's the same thing with adrenaline. It becomes a drug. So if you are hyper vigilant, so you're revved up, you're doing stuff, there's loads of incidents all happening in a row, like when you're in a humanitarian aid project, you know, refugees arriving at night with hyperthermia in a boat, you know, it's, you stay up 72 hours thinking I'm going to save everybody, and you get burnout. In 3 days, you can get burnout. The volunteer burnout is 3 days. That's enough. If you don't sleep, you're done for. So you need to rest. Now, if you have strong nerves and you have a good condition, you're predisposed to be able to handle stress, it means you're going to be getting a little kick out of being, you know, somebody who actually helps people a lot. But then something else happens. When a parent gets sick or a kid, or you're worried about somebody, so you're lifting your stress level just slightly much more, which means now you're getting into a hypervigilant stuck state, which means that you're going to be hyper. You're not going to, and you notice this because you were waking up at night, you're sleeping less, you're a little bit irritated, people don't seem to be as happy around you, and you're not smiling anymore. Humor is the first thing that flies out the window when you're getting hypervigilant. So then what happens is your body goes, well, for Christ's sake, this person is, you know, is adrenalining all the time. So let's leave the tap open, you know, have all you want, you know, the bar is open. Just go with your adrenaline, run, tiger.
Your body's beautiful like that.
Yeah. And that's what your body will do for you. It's amazing. The only problem is it will come to a place where all of a sudden it just stops, boom, because it can't anymore, because you've run it without oil for too long. And you won't notice, because you're going to be more and more hyper, and you're going to have more and more strength, and you're going to be more and more capable up to the point of no return, which is called the point of no return because it's the point of no return. So nobody gets burned out because they listen to their body. Nobody. Right. Nobody ever got burned out because they listened to their body. So just, you know, think about that.
Yeah, but I think I personally feel like it would be easier if stations did it together. Because to have everybody do it alone is, you know, that's too hard. And that it takes that burden off of the you know, responsibility. Like if I'm thinking if I went to an office that was, I'm thinking of some of, I work out of home, obviously. So if I went to an actual office space that I had to, you have to clock in, well, wouldn't it be amazing if you had part of that was doing something that was, you know, good for you at the beginning and end of your day?
Yeah.
That took a couple minutes.
If you're a law enforcement officer and you just went, you know, you ran away on an incident without your gun, without your handcuffs, without your radio, without anything, you just arrive in your, you know, in your pajamas, would that be professional?
Yeah, no.
That's a good analogy.
And this is mm-hmm. part of that. This is part of that.
Part of your armor.
This is the safety. This is the
always
armor.
Show up with the right equipment.
Yeah.
Mentally and physically and technically.
Don't run into the fire, you know, wearing nylons.
Yeah. So it's great if we do it in teams. Teamwork makes a dream work. And
right.
Firefighting is team oriented. Police work is it sometimes, but sometimes they're alone. But I say start with a team of one.
Yep.
Recruit a buddy. Go to a team of two.
Yes.
And build a community that is going to be mentally fit and physically fit and do this job long term. I was thinking about a buddy I worked with. His name was Ron Terriberry. I'm going to call him out. He was like the Iron Man of firefighting. He probably retired when he was 60 some years old. I think he was 60. And in his 50s and even his 60s, the 20-year-olds were trying to keep up with him. And he would always come back to the kitchen and he would rock back and forth. He would just stand there and rock. And we were like, and everyone's like, Terriberry, what are you rocking for? And he's like, just rocking. And
I love that.
And he
instinctively,
he's the only guy that did that, but he's also the guy I know that lasted the longest.
Yep. Oh, nice.
So that's amazing. When you said that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's so fantastically efficient. You know, just rocking a little bit back and forth. It's incredible.
So, I mean, all the poor little firefighters are going to be like, this is kumbaya, trug hugging shit.
No. This is not kumbaya. This is the macho spearhead, cutting edge coolness, martial arts rocking.
You're a loser if you don't do it.
That's true. You want to be an elite? You want to be an elite athlete? You want your business to be an elite sport? Then function like the elite athletes do. Because
you try
telling an elite athlete that stretching before and after is for wussies, and you'll see what kind of look you get.
Yeah, good try.
Yeah, we gotta change the culture, and we're doing it one episode at a time.
We are. Well, Ulf, this has been amazing, just amazing. It's so nice to, we love having people on that are on the same mission and same, I mean, I've learned a lot this session, so I'm excited. I'm sure Craig has too.
No, absolutely. This is the most impactful episode we've had yet. We've introduced havening, we've introduced tapping, and now this is tapping in action. We didn't talk about havening much, but
and swaying side to side.
Well, and the shuckling and the swaying and the fine motor skills and the neurobiology. And just to sum it up also, so here's the thing, folks. Listen to your body. It actually tells you exactly what it wants. If your back hurts, you're doing something wrong. If your head hurts, you're stressed. If you're not laughing, you're stressed. If somebody else is moving erratically out of rhythm, they're stressed. It takes 3 seconds to do a blowout. Shoot, shoot, shoot. You know, like we described, and you're back in a better place than you were before. And if you also afterwards do havening or tapping or shuckling, just, you know, from side to side a little bit softly when you watch the telly in the evening or, you know, whatever, on the loo, I don't care. If you do these things, you will find that you're going to expand your resilience incredibly, so much. And here's the deal. I can thank each one of you because I've had fires put out. I've had law enforcement come and help. I've had doctors coming with stretchers to pick up my relatives. I've called the center and asked for people to go to places where people are committing suicide. Besides having worked in these similar situations myself in the refugee camps and everything. So I'm saying from my heart, I have made the mistake of not doing this, and it sucks. Don't do it. Don't do like me. And I made the mistake of thinking that, you know, it ain't cool to, and it's for me. No, it's for the team. When I understood that, it was like, aha, if I believe myself to inspire anybody, if I'm a leader of any kind, then I should be the one doing what's best for the weakest person in the team, whoever that is, and I might never find out.
Yeah, make it cool. Make it cool.
Make it part
of what you need to do.
Hey, should we do a blowout, the three of us, before we end this?
I think we should.
Let's do it.
Ready?
Let's lead us. Well, okay, hands in the air. Clench your fist. Breathe in. Pull down. Shoot. One more. Shoot. One more. Shoot. And there you go. Dance into life with a smile.
I love it.
Takes effort, just like physical fitness. You've got to practice every day. We're giving you the exercises. Do them. Go to the gym. Do the running. Go and do these mental exercises. You will be mentally and physically fit and far more capable of doing your job effectively for the rest of your life.
Amen. Yeah. Okay.
And in the worst case, you'll just be just happier and you know, everything.
That's so okay.
And that's exactly what we want, you know? Content.
That's what we want. Well, stay great.
Thank you so much, Ulf.
Yes, Ulf. Thank you guys so much. That was excellent.
Thank you all for joining us all the way from Sweden. We really appreciate your input. And everybody, blow it out, tap it out, have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time.